Let's begin. Let me give out some. I need to give out three verses of scripture that I need someone to help me read. Brother, thank you so much. 2 Kings chapter 1 and verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 1 and verse 8. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 4. Who'll take that? Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 4. Thank you, Brother Ricky. Mark chapter 1 and verse 6. Mark chapter 1 and verse 6. Thank you, Dean. Now, folks, we're on page, for those that are going to try to follow on, we're on page 87 of the notes, the bottom of the page. Page 87, the bottom of the page. I'll not make reference to the notes in here much other than I've told you where we started. And if you want to follow on, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine too. And also, I'll really not say anything more about those. Now, before we read, let me bring us up to date very quickly. The Lord Jesus Christ said concerning John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, that among men born of women, there's none greater than John the Baptist. Now, that's a remarkable statement, in my opinion. The Lord Jesus himself said that John the Baptist is the greatest man born among women. So that would mean that the Lord was saying that John the Baptist was greater than Peter. Peter's a pretty big guy, pretty famous guy, pretty important guy. That would mean that John the Baptist would be greater, according to what God said, greater than the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is a pretty important character in the New Testament. God used him to write down more of the Word of God than any other single New Testament writer. But the Lord Jesus Christ said concerning John the Baptist that among men that are born of women, there's none greater than John the Baptist. Now, folks, I submit to you this morning that if our Lord said that about the Baptist, then you and I certainly ought to be interested in his life and his ministry. And certainly, I believe that the Lord intends for us to know something about John the Baptist. Now, it's my position, I believe it's a biblical position, that John the Baptist, as the first baptizer, was the first Baptist. Wow. And that's what we're going to be talking about. And I believe that the baptism of John the Baptist is New Testament Christian baptism, just exactly like we practice today. Some would object that have studied this subject to some degree, and you say, Brother Kirkpatrick, I don't understand how you can say that. And when you go to Acts chapter 18 and in Acts chapter 19, it talks about, especially in chapter 19, it talks about a group of men that said they were followers of the Baptist and they had to be re-baptized. Can I remind you that those men there, we hadn't got to that yet. We're going to get there later on. We hadn't got there yet. Can I remind you in that portion in Acts chapter 19 that those men, before the Bible tells us that they were re-baptized, those men, when they were asked about having received the Holy Ghost, they said, we've never even heard that there is a Holy Ghost. Folks, John the Baptist taught on the Holy Ghost. And so those men had not actually heard John the Baptist preach and teach. If they had, they would have known that there was a Holy Ghost. So there's an explanation to those verses. Some say, well, Brother Kirkpatrick, that can't be right. John the Baptist, his baptism couldn't be the same as New Testament Christian baptism that we practice today because the Bible refers to it as the baptism of repentance. Well, folks, I submit to you that the baptism that we perform today is a baptism of repentance also. And we're going to show you that from the Word of God. So we've got a lot of things that we want to get to later on, and we're building up toward that a little bit at a time. And right now, we're on page 87 of the notes, and we're talking about John the Baptist being clearly prophesied in the Old Testament. John was prefigured in the Old Testament by Elijah, prophesied by Isaiah, and promised by Malachi. And we want to begin this morning by showing the comparison of the Old Testament prophet Elijah and John the Baptist. Now remember, John the Baptist was the last of the Old Testament prophets, the first of the New Testament prophets. John the Baptist's ministry began the gospel age, the preaching of John the Baptist. And so with those thoughts in mind, let's begin now by reading First of all, 2 Kings chapter 1 and verse 8. Now, I want you to notice we're going to do a comparison between Elijah in the Old Testament, John the Baptist in the New Testament. The first comparison here is that the appearance of the men were very similar. 2 Kings chapter 1 and verse 8. Bible says that Elijah in the Old Testament was a hairy man. He was girded about with a leathern girdle and all. Now let's read about the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 4. Let's also read also Mark chapter 1 and verse number 6. Folks, I'm trying to get you to see the comparisons God had told us in advance. He had prophesied the Baptist in the Old Testament. He was in the Old Testament, he was prefigured by Elijah. And that's what we're looking at. And they were both recognized as great men of God. So the appearance of the men was very similar. The next comparison, we're not going to read all these because of the time that it would take. We read the scripture on the first one. We're going to read the scripture on the last one. But if you compare 2 Kings chapter 2 with Luke chapter 11 and verse 1 and John chapter 1 and verse 35, you'll find out that both of them had disciples. Now, if you go back and read the Old Testament accounts, you'll find out that Elijah, the sons of the prophets, followed the man Elijah. Of course, John the Baptist had disciples. He made and baptized disciples. And by the way, the disciples of John the Baptist later on became the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. All 12 of the 12 disciples were disciples of the Baptist before they were disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, after all, the ministry of the Baptist was to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. John said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." The Baptist said, "I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose his shoes from his feet." So his ministry, his purpose, was to point others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did that perhaps better than any man had ever done before. When you compare 1 Kings 17:1 with Mark chapter 6 and verse 20, you'll find out that Elijah of old and John the Baptist both preached or witnessed to king. You remember the Old Testament, don't you? Elijah and Ahab. In the New Testament, John the Baptist and Herod. Oh my. In 1 Kings 17, verses 3 through 6, and Matthew chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, both Elijah of old and John the Baptist were fed in the wilderness. Of course, Elijah went out and sat by the brook, and the ravens came and brought him food. And the Bible says that in the wilderness, the Baptist ate locusts and wild honey. Both were fed in the wilderness. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 24, Matthew chapter 21, verse 26, both were recognized as unusual men of God. Folks, it's remarkable. It's remarkable that when you think about John the Baptist, now the comparison is that they were confused with one another. Now remember, John the Baptist himself, when he was compared to Elijah, he said, "Listen, he himself said that I'm not Elijah, but he came in the spirit and the power of Elijah." But could I go a little step further than that at this point? John the Baptist was often mistaken for the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ was often mistaken for the Baptist, John the Baptist. You see, he was recognized as an unusual man of God. When you compare 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, and Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2, both Elijah and John the Baptist were evangelists who challenged the people. You remember, of course, the account of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Elijah stood before the people and he said, "How long halt you between two opinions? If God be God, then follow him. If Baal be God, follow him. But make a decision. John the Baptist, even when the religious crowd came to him, John the Baptist said to those people, "You generation of vipers, you need to bring forth fruits, meat for repentance." So both men were evangelists that challenged the people mightily in their ministry. Both men, even when in the minority and even when the masses were against them, both men were able to, were willing to stand up and say, "This is it. This is it. We're going to stand for God. We're going to do what's right. Regardless of what the masses may think, we're going to live for God and stand for God." Both men possess great godly courage. As I mentioned this last one, I want to ask you to turn. I'd like for two of you to read for me, if you would. I'd like for someone to read 1 Kings 19, 1 through 4. Thank you, brother. Read that for me. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 3. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 3. Who'll read that? Brother Ricky, thank you so much. If you mean to go ahead and find those before I comment, I'm going to ask you to read the scripture. Now, we're giving a comparison here as they read. I think it's going to be obvious to you without me saying anything what this comparison is. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 4. Wow. Before I comment, let's read Matthew chapter 11, verse 3. Brother Ricky, I put him at a disadvantage. I should have gave him more verses to read so you'd have the setting there. He just read the verse there. Of course, in the New Testament, John the Baptist is in prison just before he's beheaded. And John the Baptist told one of his disciples, the verse that was just read, he said, "I want you to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him if he's the one that was to come or if I need to be looking for another." Now, folks, you notice in these passages that both of these great men of God came to a time of discouragement in their life, in their ministry. Elijah, after the great victory over the prophets of Baal, the wicked Jezebel said, "I'm going to kill you." By the way, if she really was interested in killing him that much, why didn't she send somebody to kill him instead of to tell him that she was going to kill him? I've never been able to figure that thing out and everything. But she sends somebody to tell him that she's going to kill him instead of sending him to kill him. It seemed like she just went ahead and killed him. But at any rate, the wicked Jezebel said, "I'm going to take your life." And he ran into the wilderness and he sat down in discouragement. He said, "God, you might as well kill me. I'm the only one left serving you." By the way, he wasn't the only one left serving him. God came to him later on and he said, "Listen, Elijah, I've got 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal nor kissed him. I've got some other faithful folks also." Remember that, folks. We're not alone in this. We're not alone in this. God's got others that are standing true and doing the will of God. John the Baptist, before that account that Brother Ricky read for us, he had been out ministering, baptizing. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ walking toward him. He proclaimed to the crowd, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Now, I want you folks to think with me about this very carefully. We're going to come back to this later on, not today, but later on. The Bible tells us that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, from his mother's womb. The Bible tells us that John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us that John the Baptist's mother was filled with the Holy Ghost. the ministry of the Baptist was so spectacular and so successful because everything that he did was through the power of the Spirit of God. He was born with the fullness of the Holy Spirit on his life, and it stayed with him throughout his life. Now wait, I'm going somewhere with this. The Baptist clearly recognized the Lord Jesus Christ earlier. When he saw him coming toward him, remember, he'd been prophesied in the Old Testament. His whole ministry was pointing men and women, boys and girls, to the Lord Jesus Christ. He recognized Jesus and proclaimed to the world, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Yet during a time of discouragement, depression, doubt came in. Could I make an application there? Folks, when you go through a time of discouragement or doubt in your life as a child of God, it doesn't mean that you're fundamentally flawed. It doesn't mean that you're the only one that has ever had that happen to you. Folks, it's common to man. Everybody. Are you listening? I'm not trying to discourage you right now. Honestly, I'm not. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to encourage you. Sometimes doubt and discouragement comes to us even in the midst of the will of God. You say, "Brother Kirkpatrick, as much as I know my heart, I'm in the will of God. I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm trying my best to fulfill God's will for my life. And yet in the midst of that, things are going wrong, and we enter a time of doubt and discouragement. We enter a time of darkness in our life." You see, that's not unusual. That's not unusual. It happened. It happened to two of the greatest Bible characters in all the Word of God. The prophet Elijah in the Old Testament, John the Baptist in the New Testament. Could I remind you again that John the Baptist was referred to as the greatest man ever born among women by the Lord himself? Could I remind you again he was full of the Holy Ghost? And yet he went through a time of doubt and discouragement. John the Baptist was a great man. He had a great ministry. He pointed others to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was clearly prophesied in the Old Testament. The prophecy in Isaiah chapter 40. As a matter of fact, we need to turn and read. Who'll turn to Isaiah chapter 40 and read verses 3, 4, and 5 for us? Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3, 4, and 5. Brother Ryan, would you turn and read that for us? Before I comment on it, let's read this prophecy of John the Baptist in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 through 5. Folks, that's an Old Testament prophecy of John the Baptist. And you say, "Now, Brother Kirkpatrick, how do we know for sure that Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 through 5 is talking about John the Baptist?" Folks, we know that because it's repeated in each of the four Gospels. And every time it's repeated, except for one, the Gospel writer tells us that prophecy was made by Isaiah. You see, the prophecy of Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5, it's either quoted or mentioned in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 3, Mark chapter 1 and verse 3, Luke chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, and in John chapter 1 and verse 23. There can be no doubt whatsoever that Isaiah 40 is a prophecy of John the Baptist as the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. John prepared the way of the Lord by preaching several things. He prepared the way of the Lord by preaching Christian doctrines. We're going to look at this later on. Folks, John the Baptist preached a lot of different doctrines. Do you realize that there was nothing that John ever preached that was denied or replaced anywhere else in the Word of God? It was amplified elsewhere in the Word of God, But folks, by the way, almost everything that's found in the Gospels and the book of Acts, that we got the beginning of the New Testament church in that portion of Scripture, almost everything that's mentioned there is amplified in the epistle. So we've got more information about the things that John the Baptist preached. But folks, nothing that the Baptist preached was ever denied or replaced elsewhere in the Bible. He prepared the way of the Lord by preaching Christian doctrines, by preaching Christian ethics, and by preaching Christ-like righteousness. He declares the deity of Christ so well that those who believed him followed the Lord Jesus Christ unquestioningly. I'm not going to turn there because of time, but if you turn to John chapter 1, verses 35 through 49, the Bible records the calling of some of the disciples, some of the 12 disciples. Folks, it's an interesting thing. When the Lord called the disciples, when the Lord Jesus Christ called his 12 disciples, remember they were busy doing whatever it was they were doing. Peter was fishing and Matthew was sitting at the receipt of custom and on we go. But the Lord Jesus Christ comes by and calls them and they left what they were doing. They immediately put down whatever they were doing and they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever asked yourself why they were willing to do that? I want to tell you why. They were willing to do that because they had been prepared to do that by John the Baptist. Remember what John's job was? His job was to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist made disciples. He baptized them. He prepared them to follow the Lord Jesus Christ when the Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene and began his public ministry. And our Lord's 12 disciples were willingly able to follow the Lord just like that because they had been prepared by John the Baptist to do that very thing. John the Baptist was prophesied in the Old Testament clearly in the Word of God. The next thought I'd like to begin this morning, we've got about 10 minutes. The Baptist was highly praised by God. He was highly praised by God. Now, I've already went over some of this, but we're gonna deal with it very briefly. I'd like for someone to turn to Luke chapter 1 and verse 15. Luke chapter 1 and verse 15. Who'll turn there and read that? Luke 1, 15. Thank you, brother. Turn to Luke chapter 1 and verse 15. Now, remember the thought we've got now. We just looked at the fact that John the Baptist was prophesied in the Old Testament. Now he's on the scene. And he's highly praised by God. He was prophesied that he was going to come and he was going to minister in the Old Testament, second only to the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way, as far as Old Testament prophecy. Now that he's on the scene, God highly praised him. Let's start by reading Luke chapter 1 and verse 15. The Bible says concerning John the Baptist that he was going to be great, watch it, in the eyes of the Lord. Now, folks, people can be great in a lot of ways. Some people are great in the eyes of other men. Now, I'm not saying necessarily there's anything wrong with that. In the right context, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think all of us would agree that being great in the eyes of other men is not as great as being great in the eyes of God. Some men are great in their own eyes. There's always something wrong with that. There's always something wrong with that. A man that's great in his own eyes is living in fleshly pride and all. But people can be great in a lot of ways. They can be great in the eyes of other people. They can be great in their own eyes. Other things I know you could mention. John the Baptist, the Bible says, was great in the eyes of the Lord. Great in the eyes of the Lord. Folks, don't lose sight of where we're going. Why was John's ministry so important? Why was his baptism so important? That's where we're going with this whole thing. Now, The Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. We just read that. Of whom else in all of sacred or secular literature is such a statement made? This pre-birth endowment will remain throughout his life and would give his words and his work divine power and authority. We've already mentioned, I'll turn there and read that, Luke chapter 1, verse 67 and Luke chapter 1, verse 41. Not only was a Baptist filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, but his father and his mother were both filled with the Holy Ghost too. That's the kind of a man that we're talking about. Can you imagine that home? That home life? The Baptist was filled with the Spirit. Mom and Dad were filled with the Spirit. Wow. What a home that must have been. But I want to deal now, I've got just a little while, I want to deal with what I find one of the most puzzling statements. The Lord Jesus Christ says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, among men born of women, there's none greater than John the Baptist. But the Lord goes on in that same verse and he says, yet he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, folks, I gotta be honest with you. That just puzzles the daylight out of me. It really, really does. Least than who? I guess maybe as we examine that, first we need to realize some people that John the Baptist is not least than. The Lord said that, nevertheless, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. Now, who is this least that the Lord's talking about now? There's some people that I can think of that it can't be who the Lord's talking about. First of all, I was not talking about backsliders. I mean, people in the kingdom of heaven, people in this age or the age after John, people that are not really on fire for God, people that are not dedicated to God, they may be saved on the way to heaven, but they're just not living for God and not really concerned about the will of God. Certainly those are not the people that are greater than John the Baptist. How about this? I don't think you could be talking about some future subject in the millennial kingdom that we don't know anything about. Certainly, that couldn't be who the Lord's talking about when he said he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. It couldn't have been his contemporary. Couldn't have been those that were alive during the time that the Baptist was ministering. Now, remember, the Baptist was called the greatest man as ever born of a woman. The Baptist was full of the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. The Apostle Paul was a great man, and boy, my thought up here is not to do anything to cast anything negative on the Apostle Paul. But you know, in his early adult life, he was anything but dedicated to God and the will of God. He spent his life persecuting the church. He spent his life traveling around, hailing men and women into prison. It was the Apostle Paul that was there when the godly Stephen was stoned to death. He took his cloak and put it down in agreement to the events that were taking place. Certainly, as great as the Apostle Paul was, he wasn't greater than John the Baptist. John Butler said concerning this thought of least, he said, this does not refer to character but to privilege. John did not have the spiritual privilege we have today. We have so much more divine revelation than John had. The lowest saint can study the Bible and know more about Christ than did the great prophet John the Baptist. This statement about John should cause us to be better stewards of our spiritual privilege. That's a good thought. I don't know that he's not right about that. But there's something about that just makes me think that maybe that's not all of it anyway. David Sorensen said, concerning this least, David Sorensen said, Jesus clearly demonstrates that spiritual values are in a different dimension than the values of the world. John was a preacher and a man of God. The world considered him a curiosity. But Jesus said he was greater than all the kings and notables that the world produced. Yet John would not have the privilege of seeing the kingdom in his day. To that extent, he was less than the least who will someday be in the kingdom. Thus implied is the greatness of the kingdom. Moreover, it is apparent that the kingdom was not as yet. Though the king was present in their midst, the ultimate kingdom was not and will not be until the king returns to establish it. Those are some good thoughts by Dr. David Sorensen. He's talking about, well, you know what? The people rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. The earthly thousand-year reign, the earthly kingdom was postponed. It would be instituted later on. And he brings that in. And you know what? Dr. Sorensen may have it hit dead on the head right there. He may be right, and that may be what it's talking about. But there's something about it that just leaves me lacking about that. And you know, I could have filled a volume with quotes. I got a lot of commentaries and stuff and all, and I could have went on and on and on and on and on. But you know, this morning, and I'm about to run out of time, so I got to get on with it. I believe that the key to this verse may well be found in Mark chapter 15 and verse 40. Mark chapter 15 and verse 40. The Bible says in Mark chapter 15 and verse 40, it mentions, if you turn there, I'm not going to turn there right now, it mentions James the Less. Now, I want to draw your attention to that word less in Mark chapter 15 and verse 40. The word less, referring to James in Mark chapter 15 and verse 40, is a reference to age. James the Less is James the Younger. So that word, less, is a reference to age in that context. Now, folks, the same word, we've got a perfect English Bible, and all of you know, I believe the Old King James Version is the perfect Word of God. There are no mistranslations. Everything is translated perfectly. But the same Greek word that's translated less in Mark chapter 15 and verse 40 is the same word that's translated least in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11. He that is least in the kingdom of heaven. Now, if that least is referring to age, like less is in Mark, then what you have there, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven, is a comparison between John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember, age-wise, John the Baptist was born 6 months before the Lord Jesus Christ. So John the Baptist was 6 months older. Humanly speaking, John the Baptist was 6 months older. Older than the Lord Jesus. Now, of course, we understand that Jesus Christ is Almighty God and He's eternal. But from the human perspective, from the point of view of His humanity, John the Baptist was born 6 months earlier than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if the word least in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11 is a reference to age, like less is in Mark, count referring to James, and he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is a comparison between the Lord Jesus Christ and John the Baptist. And God is saying to us, of men born among women, John the Baptist is the greatest that's ever lived, but he sure is less than the Lord Jesus. Interesting thought. You think about that. You pray about that. And we'll take up here, Lord willing, next time. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the good word of God. Blessing the services to follow. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.